Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you seen any of the Shrek movies? Shrek has been a Disney franchise for about 20 years now. Shrek 5 will be coming out next year. Shrek is an ogre. I wonder if the name comes from the German word schrecklich, which means terrible. For an ogre, Shrek is not all that terrible. Still, I didn't think that I would ever be using him as a sermon illustration in the sober, solemn season of Lent. In a scene from the first movie, Shrek is explaining to his animal companion, a donkey, that there is more depth to ogres than people may think. Shrek says, "Ogres are like onion." "You mean they stink?" says the donkey. "No," Shrek says. "You mean they make people cry?" says the donkey. "No," Shrek says, "they have layers." There are also layers to Holy Scripture, layer upon layer of truth. As we peel away the layers of a biblical passage, we may find deeper meaning and revelations that never occurred to us before. Often we find that the same scripture may have messages that speak to us in different seasons of our lives. That's why reading the Bible is never boring or redundant. There is always something new there, a detail we didn't notice before, or a nuance we didn't appreciate previously. For instance, consider Jesus' cry from the cross recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This has been called the cry of dereliction. As a noun, derelict means a person without a job, without a home, without property. Sometimes we refer to poor homeless people with substance abuse problems as derelicts. Here, derelict is an adjective meaning abandoned and neglected. On the cross, Jesus was neglected by his friends and abandoned even by God, his Father. On the cross, Jesus is in solidarity with all the suffering people in all times and places who feel like God has abandoned them. That is the first layer. Are you sick, in pain, disabled? Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Have you been rejected by someone you love, betrayed by a friend, punished for something you didn't do? Jesus has been there and done that. Has life treated you unfairly? Have you suffered for no good reason, like the Galileans Pilate slaughtered or the people the tower fell on? Jesus understands. In our preaching and teaching, we often speak of the real presence of Christ in the sacraments. We also proclaim that God is present in his word and that we ourselves are temples of the Holy Spirit. God is present within us and around us for our benefit. But if we are going to talk about the true presence of God, we also have to acknowledge that sometimes we experience the real absence of God. Not that God is ever really absent from his people. God is present everywhere, and he is all-knowing. But there are times when God is hidden, and we feel God forsaken, as Jesus was on the cross. It's okay for us to admit that. A time when we may feel God forsaken is when a loved one dies. An old story that I've used in sermons many times is about when a mother and father's son died and they asked their pastor, "Where was God when my son died?" The pastor answered, "The same place he was when his son died." That's true. But it might seem like cold comfort. When his wife died, the great author C.S. Lewis wrote in his diary that the problem with that answer is that it might lead us to conclude that God was not loving or caring toward his son, and that he's not loving or caring toward us either. It is tempting to think of God sometimes as being like an ogre. We might say he stinks and he makes us cry. If you've ever felt that way, and honestly, who hasn't in a time of pain or loss, you are in good company. You're in Jesus' company. Jesus suffered the abandonment of God so he can relate to our human experience in every way, even our feelings of dereliction. Our Savior knows what he is saving us from. Jesus knows how easy it is for us to nearly lose our faith. That's one layer of meaning from this word from the cross. Jesus empathizes with you and what you're going through. You are not alone. You are never alone. Here's another layer. Perhaps you noticed that when Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," he was quoting Holy Scripture. My God, why have you forsaken me?" is the first verse of Psalm 22. If you've ever been to our Maundy Thursday service, you know that is the psalm that we read at the end of the service as the altar and the chancel are stripped. That symbolizes our movement from our joy at the institution of the Lord's Supper to our sorrow over Christ's betrayal and arrest, the beginning of Jesus' passion and dereliction. Isn't it amazing that even in the physical and emotional agony of the crucifixion, Jesus had the presence of mind to recall Scripture? There, under extreme pressure, Jesus could think of a scriptural passage that gave perfect expression to the dereliction he was feeling, and as we will see, find real comfort. That raises a question for us. How well do we know our Bible? In times of crisis, do we have verses memorized that give us guidance and consolation? I'm usually not the kind of pastor that emphasizes rote memorization. I believe it's more important to know what the Bible means than to be able to tick off chapter and verse. However, there is some great value in having some important verses committed to memory so that we can recall them in times of need or when we witness to others about our faith. Another layer of Jesus quoting Psalm 22 from the cross is about the way the psalm ends. Psalm 22 was a prayer that a pious Jew, like Jesus, would have recited every evening as the prayers that he said before going to bed. In this dire situation, with Jesus about ready to enter into the big sleep, saying the first verse was much the same as saying the whole psalm for him. Around verse 21 of Psalm 22, the theme turns from lament to praise. God's past dramatic acts are recalled, and his promises for the future are proclaimed as certain. The rescue of God's servant, prophetically pointing to Jesus, is reported as a fact, and God's name is glorified. So Jesus' statement of dereliction is also a declaration of steadfast hope and faith. It's kind of a paradox, as many things in Scripture are. Someone said that the mark of great intelligence is the ability to hold two contradictory thoughts in mind, both as true at the same time. In John's Gospel, Jesus goes to the cross with supreme confidence. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see more trepidation in Jesus. Both are true. He felt both. We know how we can feel both positive and negative about an examination or a surgery or some other crucial event that might go well or might go badly. Despite the apparent risk, and even when feeling God forsaken as no one else ever had, Jesus took the leap of faith and bore the cross, trusting in his Father's ultimate goodness. We are called to do the same thing that Jesus did, to live and die trusting in God our Father. We can only do that because the crucified one has gone before us into death and returned to tell us about eternal life. Jesus was abandoned to the depths of dereliction so that we might truly never be God forsaken. Christ is always with us. We are never alone. When we are put to the test, his mercy upholds us. We've examined now the first four words from the cross and found each to be a different layer, revealing more and more depth of Jesus' love for us. Like a multifaceted gem, Jesus' wisdom and faith shine through his dying utterances. Even a cry of despair becomes a declaration of hope. We will find further revelations in Jesus' word and in God's acts in our lives. May the grace of God find us receptive to him and bring us safely through all our trials. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.